Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, have kind of an unusual passage that is here. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Many years ago, God allowed me to do a study on this passage. And of course, first of all, it's the normal picture that we see is a large number of sheep. And if we had 100 sheep and there's a threat of a wolf that might be coming, I don't want to be on the edge. I want to be inside the middle of it. And I've got a pretty good assurance that I'm not going to be attacked unless one slips in sheep's clothing, then I could be in trouble wherever I'm at, in that 100 sheep or more that would be there. But that's not the story that Jesus is painting here. He's painting the story of a pack of wolves that are hungry, mean, fierce, and one sheep in the midst of that pack of wolves. Think about that. One sheep. Now, I could see a bear in the midst of a pack of wolves and kind of have a, there might be some hope for that bear. I could see a lion in the midst of that pack of wolves. But a sheep has no defense. They're not created to fight, to defend themselves. They need a shepherd to help them and to guide them and to protect them. And when you've got a large number, he'll put them in a safe place. Usually in a pen where that with only one gate, not just that they couldn't get out, but it would be difficult for anything to come in. Here you've got this helpless sheep in the midst of these hungry, mean wolves. I think about that. When I do, I can think about this. The wolves seize this helpless prey. They have no fear of that sheep. I mean, there's just a meal served on a silver platter for them in them. And thinking that the Lord would send us out as sheep in the midst of wolves, that almost seemed like suicide when we stopped to think about it. Man, I'm a helpless sheep in the midst of a pack of wolves. Surely my life's going to be eaten up and be taken on that. The first time many years ago when God allowed me to look at this and really study it, He led me in a way of seeing the suffering that we might go through. And I had a lot of scriptures dealing with the suffering and the blessing of suffering, even at that, and that we should be willing to lay down our life and for Christ and for God, knowing the bottom line is we're going home. So regardless of what happens to us, we got victory. Whether we live another 10 years here or whether we go home tonight, in that we have victory in there. And but this time, as God led me to this passage, he wanted me to see a different picture altogether. Now, a sheep in the midst of wolves, an impossible situation on our own to survive. And if you have, as a child of God, have dealt with the world any at all, you know there are mean wolves out there. And they're going to do their best to try to bring you down and what you represent with God involved in that. Today, it's getting even worse in that line. Now, in America, for a number of years, we had the joy and privilege of support as we'd go out in the community. I can remember in many years ago as a pastor, and I'd go into the community, into the city, wherever my church was, and I would need some help and need to buy some things for the church or buy some lumber to do some repair, or whatever it is. As I would go in and ready to pay for that, the merchants would not let me pay for it. They were support of the work that was being done in the local church. Now today, they're going to, if they see you coming, they'll just jack up the price a little bit. Not only that, they're going to make you pay taxes when you don't have to pay taxes. They don't want you in there. The wolves are getting bolder and meaner, it seems like, today. Well, what is Jesus really talking about in this? I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Why are we there to begin with? Is God trying to punish us? Is God angry with us at this? And I said, he's going to send you out there, and you're by yourself in the midst of a bunch of wolves that are hungry and ready to take your life. Well, first of all, we need to realize why Jesus said he was going to do this, because he was wanting them to witness. Our purpose is to witness to these wolves that are trying to take our lives. Now, as we think about that, look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you've read this over and over again. You've heard sermons on it. But now, with this setting of a sheep in the midst of wolves, here we are. We cannot defend ourselves on our own. We're at the mercy of these wolves. And here, God has sent us forth to witness. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. Hey, there's some hope. I'm not going out there powerless. I've got some power now. In myself, I can't do anything. But now I'm going to have the power of God. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I'm to be a witness in the power of God. How much power can we have, say, in this? Well, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. When I think about that, of the going out to witness, going in face of all the wolves, all of the opposition of all that would want to destroy us. They don't want us there to begin with. They'd like to just eat us up, get rid of us, do anything they can to us in that. And I'm there to witness to them. And I'm to go in the power of God. I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, that's an exciting thing. I need to realize by being saved is not just escaping hell and having a home in heaven. Being saved is to become a child of God. Man, that's a blessing in itself. To be saved is to receive the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in us physically, literally. Now, that's not just a spirit out there, like you'd have jealousy and some other spirits that are evil and other spirits that are good. Now, this is one of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person that dwells in each one of us that are born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's great. That's an honor. We've yet to realize what's all involved with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The scriptures that we would read on that, and you've read them before, is that we can have wisdom from the Holy Spirit. He'll put words into our mouth. We can have comfort. We can have strength. We can have power of God with the Holy Spirit. We've yet to use that. It's like owning a Cadillac, brand new, and man, you're proud of that, and it can do about everything and anything you'd want it to do, but you're just not going to get in it. You're just going to let it sit there in the driveway. What good is it? And we have the power, and we don't know how to use it within us. How much power do we have of the Holy Spirit? Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came, this is after his resurrection, and said unto them, saying, all, not some, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We think we've seen a lot of power in this old world. And we thought, our forefathers thought a bow and arrow was pretty powerful, a spear. And now we've got weapons that just blow your mind as to what they can do. Not only do we have weapons that you can shoot a bomb that would destroy the enemy out there, but that thing will turn corners and go in and can go in the front door of a house and go into a special room before it explodes in there. It's unbelievable. And then the atomic, the hydrogen power. We think we've seen some great power. And then we realize as we get information about the nature which we have around us, what God has created in this world and the sun and all that's involved in this, there's some power, the power of an earthquake. You realize the power that's involved in an earthquake? We are familiar with some tremendous power, that of a tornado, a wind blowing. You wouldn't think it would have much power, but boy, there's a tremendous power just in that. We haven't even begun to see the real power that God has. All the power that he has in every form and fashion, not only in physical work, but in the spiritual realm as well, in the mind. Power to control the mind, power to control the physical body of a human, power to cause the water to become solid, power to overcome any disease that might come upon mankind, past, present, and future in that. Power over any and everything. Jesus said all power was given unto him. Notice that next verse, verse 19. Go ye therefore. Now, this is where it gets exciting to me. Instead of looking at that pack of wolves and great sweat break out on my brow and said, man, how am I going to survive in that mess? There's no way. And I really don't care about suffering. I know I should, and there's a benefit from suffering. I'm established, and God does a lot of things for that. But I'd just soon avoid that if I could. And that I don't even like to get sick. I don't know about you, but any type of pain come along, I'd just soon to find a different way through that. And I'm looking at that pack of wolves. In my eyes, all I can see is a negative part of it. But when I think about Jesus and my Heavenly Father sending me into that pack of wolves to witness, and he said, when I go to witness, I'm going to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, then that brings a smile to my face and encouragement to my soul. I'm going out there not to be devoured by the wolves, but to whip the wolves. And I don't need 100 out there with sheep with me. All you need is just you and God. And you can turn a pack of wolves into something else. And that, so we're to witness in the power of God. Well, what are we to witness about? Well, normally we say, of course, about how that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and raised again the third day. We're to witness that Jesus ascended to heaven and one day he's coming back. And we're to witness of the love of God. My, what a witness. And those things are tremendous and wonderful. But that's not going to touch those wolves. Now, love will do some damage and can change some things. Our attitude when we go in that pack of wolves is not that we're going to tell them the good news. There is love from God. We're going to tell the good news that wolf, as mean, as vicious as it might be, along with all of the rest of them around there, that wolf can be changed. Think about that. That wolf that not only threatened my life, but threatened the life of my family, threatened the life of my society, threatened the life of my nation, that wolf can be born again. What a message. Now that's good news. Look at it in John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And look at verse 7. You know the story in John. John chapter 3 and verse 7, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. A familiar passage. Marvel not, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Now, to be born again means a change in life. As I mentioned earlier, it was great and it is great. And the good news that I can escape hell when I believe that Jesus died for me, was buried and raised again the third day. It's good news to know that I've got a home in heaven. It's good news to know that I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me and I have a Father that takes care of me. But the great news, through Jesus Christ, I can be changed. I don't know about you, but I didn't like the old life I had. The more I tried to straighten it up, the worse it got. I found that when I know to do good, I wasn't doing it. And I was finding all kinds of difficulty, and the desire of my heart was to do that which was wrong instead of that which was good. I was raised in that atmosphere. I knew that without a question of doubt that that was going to be my road to travel throughout my life. But the good news came that I could be changed, I could be born again, and not be that old person. When we go into the midst of the pack of wolves by ourselves, we're to go in to witness to them that, and with the idea that they're going to be changed. Do you ever witness to somebody with a positive attitude that they can be changed? Or do you go and witness to somebody and say, man, I hope they don't get mad at me. I hope they'll listen a little bit. That's not the case. We're to go with the positive power of God and knowing that God can change them. I don't care who they are or what they are. How mean, how ugly, how horrible, how terrible they might be, God can change them. And when they come to Jesus, asking God to forgive them, to save them through the blood of Jesus, they can be born again. Well, I can fight with a bunch of babies. When that wolf is born again, it's just a little baby. I can deal with that. But there's more to it than that. I want you to look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Man, we're to be there in the midst of those pack of wolves, not to be devoured, but to have victory. We're to change the wolves. Now we know that they can be born again, have a change in life. Well, what will happen to them? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man or any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, there are different translations. They'll change that word creature to a new person, to a new man, and so on, involved in that. I like the word creature. Okay, we're not going to just be remodeled. We're going to be made totally new. Our whole life is changed. Everything about us, our makeup, my want to is changed. Man, what a blessing that is. And to know that as I face those wolves, I'm not the one in danger. They are. Because when they hear the good news and they receive Christ, they will not only be born again, but changed. You know, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. You know why? Because when you love your enemies, then they're going to become your friend. You've changed that enemy into a friend. Isn't that? Man, what a blessing God has for us in there. And how that as we face the wolves out there, it's not looking at them and being afraid. It's looking at the victory that we can have in changing a wolf and making it a lamb. Now, brother, that is a miracle of God. That's what he's done with you. That's what he's going to do with the world. Whatever is involved in this. This is not a picture of defeat, of putting us out in the midst of hungry wolves. It's a challenge that we can go there in the power of God as we witness and witness to the fact that they can be changed. I think I've shared with you before and some of you on other occasions. When I was in the military and I was in San Diego, Jackie and I moved her out there, and we were at Balboa Park Baptist Church in San Diego. And so we had a mission. They had a mission down on Skid Row, close to the Old Mexico. And, of course, on Skid Row, you've got the winos, we used to call them then, people who were drunks and that were controlled by wine and more so. We didn't have all the other type of drugs that we got going on today. And these are big men that have been captured by the power of of alcohol and the drinks and that. And we would go down to witness to them on the street there and try to get them into a service that we might have in the mission that was there. And so I'd been down there witnessing, and we'd pass out tracts, and we'd tell them the good news that God could change their lives and so on. And I had a young man with me that was training. And so he thought he had learned enough, and he said, they saw this other fellow staggering down, coming toward us. He said, let me take him. I said, okay, you witness to him. So as he approached us, and this young man began to witness to him, and he told him that he could be changed through the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of God and so on. But in his voice and in his tone, there was a question mark. And so the man, he straightened up, and with all of his power of his voice, very strong, said, young man, I've been to AAA, I've been to all of the different organizations, I've been to hospitals, they've tried to dry me out, and all of these things, and I'm still right back under the demon of alcohol. You mean to tell me that this man you're talking about can change my life? That they couldn't? He said, I think so. I pulled him off to one night and I said, son, this is not a think-so business. You got to know so. And you've got to have that attitude, and you've got to experience it yourself, that God can change anyone. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And that's what Jesus is telling us. You go out there to those wolves, and you can change them. God can change them. I'll change them through you. You're to be my witness that they can be born again, they can become a new creature. Now, brother, that's exciting. So I don't see a bunch of wolves out there. I see some good prospects. Amen. Not to be afraid, all power in heaven and earth through Jesus is at my disposal with this. Man, what an exciting thing that is in that. Now, what about those who aren't changed? You'll have some who will be saved and some of them will get worse. I mean, they'll really get mad at you. They really want to pounce on you. They really want to take your life in this. We were aboard our aircraft carrier, it became an experimental ship, so it was quite rough, and the moral on it was really down, and God placed me there in the midst of that. You talk about being in the pack of wolves. Brother and I was right there. I said, Lord, why me? You know, first thing. He said, well, this is a dark place, and it needs a light. Now, that gives you a better attitude about it, you know. Well, to make a long story short, God had opened some doors where I had three Bible classes going every day out to sea. And sailors were being saved. And, of course, on the aircraft carrier, that's an airport. And you got people flying in, people flying out. And some of these old boys be transferred that were saved in the Bible classes. And they would fly off and go to be stationed in another port overseas. And we'd pull into a port and they would announcement come over the PA system. Wells, you got a visitor on the quarterdeck. Well, I didn't know anybody in Japan or in China or any other place we went into. I'd go up there and look around, and I'd tell the officer deck that I'm Jerry Wells, and I understand there's a visitor up here. And he said, yeah, this man wants to see you. Well, the man was a director of a Christian servicemen center in that location, and one of these men out of these Bible classes had gone through and told him about a class. And he wanted to ask me some questions and check things out to see that whether I was doctrinally sound. And when he found that out, then he had places for me to preach. Man, God was opening the door, you know, and that. But at the same time, when this was going on, we had a organization on board that were getting the new recruits that were coming aboard the ship and enlisting them in prostitution in the various places in Japan and so on in the other countries on now. And so it was literally a race who was going to contact these new recruits first. And not only that, this particular operation that was aboard our ship, some of their men, their friends, was talking to them and got them to come to the Bible class, and they were being saved. Now, I didn't know about the ring. I didn't understand what was going on there. I just knew that we needed that. There were a lot of these were being buttonholed to go to the beer joints and so on aboard leave in a foreign port, and be involved in prostitution over there and all of those things that's in there. So we were trying to reach them. When you take a young man, he's away from home and away from his family and everything else, he's free. And boy, the temptations are strong. What he wouldn't dare do at home, he'll sure do it out there. And you need to reach those and deal with them. That was our mission in this as well. And so the ring aspect of this, that organization came to light on a Sunday afternoon. On Sunday, you're not doing much on that, and you can sleep on Sunday on the afternoon, depending on your position, what you're doing. And I was able to rest that afternoon. So I was sleeping in my bunk. It was about this high off the floor. There was bunks underneath me. And next thing I knew, I was out of that bunk. Fella had me by my shirt, and I was barely touching the floor with my tiptoes. He was cursing me out from one end to the other. And he told me that I was destroying his organization and he was going to kill me. Now, there's a mad wolf right there. At that moment, behind me on the other side of the bunk where I was at, and he had this arm reached, came across from behind me and reached out and grabbed his Adam's apple. I thought the old boy was going to die right there on the spot. This fellow that grabbed his Adam's apple told him, "You don't even come near this preacher." That was the first Indian I met. I'd never met a full-blood Indian until then on that. And God had sent him to be my bodyguard in that deal. So, man, all power. As we sung the song, "Well, take my hand, Lord. Lead me along." He does that. You don't have to be afraid. When you go with a positive attitude, this is God's work, not yours. And God can change. Now, what about these that are not converted? See? Now, I might get one out of 10 wolves out there, or 15. And when I reach that one for Christ, the rest of them are going to be pretty mad. Now, what about those? Well, turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Second Corinthians, chapter 10, and verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, this is something that we have a hard time coming to grips with. It's like Peter walking on the water. Now, man, that was a storm brewing. You remember that? The waves were whipping up, the wind was blowing, and Jesus walking on the water. Jesus didn't make the water calm. He didn't freeze it so it'd be solid and you could walk on it. Now, I walked on water that was frozen, solid ice. But when the waves are whipping around, I didn't even think about trying to walk on water. And here, Peter, a fisherman, knew better that he has never walked on water under those circumstances. And he said, "If it be you, Lord, let me come unto you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter stepped out of that boat, and when he stepped on top of that water, where he put his foot, not the whole ocean or the Sea of Galilee, but where he put that foot became solid. And wherever Peter would step, it didn't make any difference. He could go forwards and backwards. Wherever he would step, that part became solid, and the storm was still raging. Now, that's the power of God. But you know what happened to Peter? He looked at the storm, and he began to sink. Now, he's a fisherman. He knows how to swim. But he began to sink to such a fashion that he said, "Lord, save me." He's helpless in the water. Now, we're not to look at those wolves. And sometimes when we approach the wolves, we look at them like Peter looking at the storm. And we become afraid. And they gnaw on us from one end to the other. But now listen, our weapons are not carnal. I cannot pull out a literal sword and just whack them away. Now, I do have something that is a little carnal, not really carnal. It has some shape, and that's the Bible. I can pull that out. But when I pull it out and they see that, they will try to destroy it unless I believe with all of my soul and my heart that this is the eternal Word of God. It is inspired, infallible, inerrant. When I believe that with all of my soul, they are afraid to see it, much less to hear it. But the rest of the weapons, we can't see like we can see the Bible. But they're powerful. Notice that in verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What can they do? To the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of God can defend us against the wolves that are not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, how is that done? Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what that's saying? The drug traffic. They really put us on a scare. Our armies cannot even hold them back. Man, we put our military out there on the drug lines along the border between here and Mexico as well as other places, and we're losing the battle on that. With all of the modern equipment we have, and we're crying for more equipment out there. The only thing that can stop the drug traffic is the power of God. The only thing that can stop anything that is evil of these wolves is the power of God. Now, will he just stop them? What will he do to them? Look at this verse again, verse 5. In the bottom part, well, let me read again. Casting down. He brings them down. Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now notice that last part. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He will bring them into obedience even though they're not saved. They will not be able to harm you. Now brother, I can face that pack of wolves without fear. Talk about an exciting, there's a challenge there. Jesus said, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, and you've got my power. You can change their lives. You've got the good news that you can tell them their lives can be changed. They can be made a new creature. They can become lambs instead of raven wolves, destroying. And now they can be productive. But now how can this come about? How do we exercise that power? Well, now notice verse 6. This is very important. If you mark in your Bible, you need to mark this passage on there. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when? Now let's just pause there. God says, now I'm going to give you tools that you just can't see, but that will produce physical work. It's going to pull down the strongholds. It's going to protect you from these wolves that are there. It's going to do something to them. In fact, it's going to bring them into obedience. God's going to work on this disobedience. He'll bring revenge to them. When? There's a condition. When your obedience is fulfilled. It's not when you've gone through the seminary. It's not when you've read your Bible over and over again 100 times, though all of those things are good. It's not when you have memorized a plan of salvation, though that's good. It's when you are obedient to God. Where do you want me to go, Lord? By myself? In the midst of those wolves? No, that won't do it. When Jesus says go, when God says go, thank you, Lord, I'm going. I'm going. No limits. No restrictions. I'm going. Whatever you would have me to do, I'm going to be obedient to your word. Not only in doing what he tells me to do and going out and talking to others and reaching others, but in reading his word and studying. all of the other things that he tells me to do. When I'm obedient to his word, then the power of God moves through us for all of those around us. Those wolves, some of them will be changed. Others will be brought into obedience around you on that. Man, what a victory we have there. For you see, all of this is in the fact that a wolf can be tamed. Now, a wolf can be changed, and you don't have to worry about it. But the wolves that are not changed, God will tame them. Isn't that great? You talk about God's got a real good sense of humor, doesn't he? They think they've got the advantage on us. We're sheep, defenseless. That's the way we look. But when you go under God and you're obedient, he'll either change the wolf to a lamb or he'll tame the wolf that's around you in that. Why? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. You ever had a wolf gnaw at you, and though you ask God to remove it, and it just keeps on after you all the time? And said, well, Lord, why don't you answer my prayer? I'd like to get rid of that part on there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace, God is saying, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm not sending you out as a lion in the midst of the wolves. I'm not sending you out as a big old bear in the midst of the wolves. I'm sending you out as a lamb, as a sheep, weak in the midst of wolves. And when you are obedient in that, then through our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. His grace is sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Bring the wolves on, Lord. I want to go out as a sheep in the midst of the wolves, that your power will be demonstrated. When I'm obedient and trust him, his grace is sufficient, and in my weakness, his power is revealed. Man, what a blessing we have. What a challenge we have in this. Now, how are we to go? I've got to put this in high gear. How are we to go? Look at our text again. Keep your finger there in Corinthians. We're going to come back to it. It'll only be 1 Corinthians. But turn back to our text in Matthew 10. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, it had been good if he had said, now be therefore wise as serpents, period. That means, man, I can sneak around on those wolves. I can be aware of the danger that is there. I can watch them and sense when they're coming up. And I can strike them and kill them with the poison that I have as a serpent. Man, that's great. I'm down in there. They can't see me in the grass. They can't even smell me. But I know when they're there. But Jesus said, no, no, be wise as serpents. Recognize the danger, but harmless as doves. You don't strike. You don't do anything except be obedient to God and let God do the work. Now, wait a minute, Lord, that's kind of strange. No, that's the way God does things. Look at now in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 25. Remind you how God operates. How is he going to change those wolves? How is he going to tame those wolves with a lamb, a sheep, a helpless creature? How is he going to do that with me? I don't have the ability to stand against all of these things of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, I don't want to say it, Lord, but it's kind of foolish sending a lamb out in the midst of wolves. You know, but in reality, God says, yeah, that's foolish. But you see, it's by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that amazing? There's many other ways of doing that, but God says, no, I'm going to do it through preaching. Now, notice verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. When we go out as sheep in the midst of wolves to witness, not to live, we're to witness. That might be in the supermarket. That might be at the job. Try to witness today on the job. Well, I'll get fired. Are you doing it on your own, or are you going to let God change that whole situation? See? You can read about Joseph. Man, he was taken advantage of time and time again, but he obeyed God. What did God do? God changed the minds of those that wanted to destroy him. Isn't that? And that's what God will do now. We can go out as sheep in the midst of wolves when all odds are against us, but we go in the power of God, and as we're obedient, God performs his power, and we're to tell them that they can be changed, they can have a different life. They might not like that at first. Some will. Some will receive it, and they'll be changed, become a new creature. Others will be tamed by God, for it's God's power. When I look at this verse, how that he sends us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, we don't have to be destructive like a serpent, but we can be aware of the trouble and harmless as doves, knowing that God will do the work that is there. The victory is in Jesus, not in us. He receives the glory. If I get out there and, man, I can box them down, I can fight them, and I can overcome them, and I can pick up a pipe or something and just knock the daylights out of the wolves around me on that, who's going to get the victory? I am. But that won't do the job. When I go out as a sheep, helpless, depending on God, he overcomes the wolves, and he gets the victory. And I'm able to stand in his glory, and that's the best thing in the world. Enjoy what God wants you to do by having the positive attitude, letting him work through you in his power. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.